Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallis Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'd like to invite you to come join us here at Rallis every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have a Sunday school program that I think would be very encouraging to you and very challenging to you, one in which that we have a class for everybody. So that's at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So we also have a worship service at 11 a.m. On Sunday mornings. We have a traditional worship service. We sing hymns out of our hymn book, and if you're wondering what to wear, you wear whatever's comfortable for you. We just praise the Lord that we're able to have worship services in a place such as this in these United States of America that have been so blessed by God. I heard a man say this week that by being born in America, we hit the lottery, hit the cosmic lottery, if you would. And I'll tell you, as we look at the state of the world, as we look at the state of this world around us, we have to admit that would be correct, that we have hit the lottery when we come think about being born as an American. And I thank God for the blessings He's bestowed upon this nation, and I pray that this nation might be able to see what it is that God would have for it, that it might repent and turn back to God and be a monotheistic society where that we might be able to honor this God that has given us such great blessings. And that brings me, I also want to invite you on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We've been going through the book of John. And, you know, John was written that men might believe. John 21 there. And we just think about the fact that God has enabled us to have the accounts of the gospel writers to help us see the life of Jesus and to see Jesus for who He really is. Not just as some historical figure, not just as some individual that came into this world and did great works and was a good teacher and morally was above everybody that's ever been. No, we know He's much more than that, much more than that. So we know that God has sent Christ, the Christ, to be our Savior, and we praise God for it. I also want to invite you to keep us in your prayers, please. We are certainly beginning to be a lot more mission-minded here at Rallis, and I'm starting to see a great shift in the direction. So those of you that are prayers, we just petition that you might pray for us here, and we'll pray for the sister churches all over our area. I want to share with you, if I can, a couple of different passages. And at first, you're not going to see the connection to them, but then I'll bring it around and we'll be able to see how it is that we might understand the connection in these verses. I want to, first of all, ask you to turn with me over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at something that the Apostle Paul wrote about and something that was very near and dear to his heart. Now, I want you to remember something about the Epistle to the Philippians. It is a book of joy. The Philippians epistle was written by Paul the Apostle. We know that it was that book speaks to us about true Christianity and about what it really means to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything flows from that relationship. So it ought to be your foremost pursuit. The evidence of a close walk with God is contentment and joy. Contentment and joy always comes from being close to God. And the Holy Spirit bestowed those qualities on Paul in prison, and likewise, they're available to you. So the Holy Spirit brings joy from within despite life's circumstances. So we can be encouraged to know God is at work in our life. And our challenge is to walk with Him and to release your life to Him. Pray that the gospel might open up the doors of your heart, might cause these chambers that have been closed away. Maybe you've got things hidden. Maybe you've got things that have been just beaten down and held in a place that you're not going to release. I pray that God, through the power of the gospel, might even now begin to open up the chambers of your heart and allow you to examine yourself and see that the only great release, the only great peace, the only great comfort will come from walking close to God the Father through the Son Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so Philippians chapter 3. And I want to share with you some ways that we need to honor God. We spoke of this last Sunday here at Rallis, and I just feel it, you know, it was very encouraging to me. It was very helpful to me. I want to be able to honor God. I want to be able to say, when it's all said and done, when somebody walks through the cemetery somewhere and they see the headstone of Dwayne Cook, I don't want them to think that I was anything other than this. I'd like for it to say he did everything he could to honor God. Folks, listen, the way to enjoy God the most is to make a big deal out of God, okay? Many of us are living our lives and we're using our Christianity in a way that makes God small. It makes God as a, He's not some sort of a trinket that you're going to put in your pocket for good luck. God is not something you hang on your keychain so that others might see it and mention it in passing. God is not simply a little necklace that you hang around your neck. God is not something small that you can hope to toy with. God is something huge. God is bigger than you. God is more marvelous than we are. God is a higher power. We are small in His sight. We are nothing compared to the greatness of God. We might look at an asteroid. I saw that this week. Made its way there into the sun, and they had a video on the news of that thing just melting as it got close to the sun. And at first, that asteroid just looked huge. But as it got close to the sun, it became apparent that that asteroid was actually very, very tiny. I'm telling you, friend, that we are much smaller than that when we're compared to this great, mighty, holy God. And if we really believe that He's nothing more than a life preserver or nothing more than a fire escape, then we're really missing the point of this holy God. We're really missing the whole ideal of what it means to honor God and make God huge in our lives. I want to encourage you in your church services. I know many of you that tune in and you're able to listen. I appreciate you very much. I want to encourage you to do something for me. You begin right now to make a big deal out of God in your life. If some of you are grandparents, and everywhere you go, you talk about your grandchildren. That's great. That's wonderful. Love them. Be there for them. But you know what? We ought to talk about God in the same way. I know many of you are sports fans, and everywhere you go, it's easy to talk about your favorite team or favorite player. I know it's me and my son. We have that great relationship where sports has helped tie us together. But folks, listen, we've got to make a bigger deal out of God than all those things. I'm telling you this morning that God should be the overriding, the most empowering factor in your daily life. Ought to be the fact that you serve this mighty, huge, powerful, terrible, wonderful, holy, mighty, magnificent, unbelievable, unfathomable, this God of the heavens that has reached down into your heart and made something of you that's caused you to be able to delight in Him. If you love somebody, if you care for someone, then your desire is to give them the very best. We want to make sure our children have the best education. We want to make sure they've got the best toys, the best medicine, the best facilities. We want to make sure they've got a great home life. We want to give them the very best. Well, friend, listen to me. God, in loving you, has desired to give you the very best. And I'm not talking about the physical things. No, no, no. The very best thing that God has to offer you is Himself. There is nothing better. There is nothing greater. There is nothing higher. There is nothing more wonderful. God is giving you the very best thing in this universe. And that's more of Himself. So, the greatest gift that God can give a man is more of God. And God knows that. And so, as John Piper says, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. When you and I rest in the love of our God, when you and I can take ease in the great comfort that comes from being imparted the Holy Spirit, then there is a glorifying of God that is unique to that situation. When others can look at you in the storm of your circumstances, in the broken relationship, in the physical ailment, in the financial ruin, and the world can look at you and say, my goodness, if I were in their position, I would be distraught and heartbroken. I would be blaming someone. I would be looking to take that out on somebody. I'd be looking to try to just to destroy and maim and strike out. When they see that you're resting in the peace and the grace of your God, then you can stand in the middle of that storm and say, my God is enough. My God is all I need. He's sufficient. He will watch over me. He will keep me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, then they see there's something so different about you that they cannot understand it. But I'm telling you, it'll open their heart, and your faith can build the faith. Your faith can awaken the faith in one that is dead to God, in one that is still lying dead in their sins. Your faith might be the catalyst that walks in there and causes that whole world to change. Paul the Apostle knew this very well. So in Philippians chapter 3, he writes this. We'll look at the first 11 verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Folks, if ever there were a man who had the ability to honor God with things of this world, who had the ability to honor God with things that had been given to him in a physical sense, then it was Paul the Apostle. Paul here gives us a great list of accomplishments that he'd had throughout his life. And as we look for a few of them, we begin to see that surely some of these might honor God. Surely some of these might make God big, might make God huge, and cause God to be glorified. But I look at the end of that list, and Paul says he counted all things loss for Christ. And so what are these things? He says, if you have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks they have confidence in the flesh, think about me. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. That means to say that the Apostle Paul was lacking in nothing that the religious people of the day had required of him. Even from the very beginning of his life, his parents being zealous for the Lord, his parents being individuals who understood the great precepts of God, had allowed Paul to be in a place and a time where that he might be saved, that from my very eighth day I was already obeying the Lord through what my parents had done for me there. And I'm telling you today that some of us believe that because you were born in church, if anybody, my son, the very, very week after he was come home from the hospital, he was in the church. And from that moment on, he's been in the church. And Paul said, I've been in the church from that beginning. And some of you have been passed around from a little baby, and now you sit in a pew and you're 30, 40 years old, and you've been in church your whole life, and you've never departed from the doors. You've been there at Sunday school. You've been there on Wednesday nights. You've went through the motions. You've done everything you could, but in your heart you know it's cold. In your heart you know it's simply a physical thing, and there's never been anything happen to you in your life. You might have been come up to an altar somewhere and prayed one time. You might have been baptized in the baptistry or down at the river, but when you examine your life, when you look in your heart, you see and you realize there is no love for God. I'm telling you not to wait another moment. Don't you wait another second. You go right now and you call your pastor and you tell them, brother, I understand there's something missing in my walk with the Lord. I don't have any love for God. I don't have any love for His Word. I don't have any love for His people, and there's something going on with me. I need a release. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need to have this great thing the Bible speaks of. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And now's not the time to be wasting. Now's not the time to worry about what someone will think if you were to come forward and say, I need to be born again. Honor God. To honor God, we must go beyond the boundaries of physical obedience. There is a spiritual obedience. Paul said he was of the stock of Israel, born into a good family. He was born, his heritage, he could have traced it all the way back under the time that probably the slaves in Egypt. But it didn't gain him anything. It didn't honor God. He said, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, he said, I was a Pharisee. If there was ever a group who were more strict, you might think that your church family is strict. You might think that that they adhere to all the things that you believe is taught in the New Testament. I'm going to tell you, the Pharisees had you passed up. That they were more religious than you. You might be a preacher of a huge church somewhere, or a little bitty church. It might be a deacon. You might be a Sunday school teacher. You may have served the Lord for 50 years, but if you were to talk to Pharisees, you'd say, my goodness, that guy's more religious than I am. Can I tell you, that doesn't mean a thing? It don't mean a thing for you to be more religious than someone else. What matters the most is not religion, but relationship. And what we desperately need is not more church. We need more Christ. We need more Jesus. When we can get more of Him, friends, the gospel is not the church house. The gospel is not a Sunday school book. The gospel is Jesus. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The good news is Jesus. You see, dear friends, God's requirements were far more stricter than we could ever hope to adhere to. It was impossible for us to go near to God, because you look at the Ten Commandments and you tell me you've lived your entire life and never broken one. Have you had other gods before the Lord God? Have you made any graven images? Have you taken the name of the Lord in vain? Have you remembered the Sabbath day? Have you honored your father and your mother? Have you killed in your heart? Have you committed adultery in your heart? Have you stole? Have you bore false witness? Have you coveted? Have you looked at Exodus chapter 20 and decided that you have adhered to all those laws? If you can say that, you're fooling yourself, because you have not lived up to all those things. All are fallen short. None have ever reached up unto the heights of God. And so therefore, this holy God could not allow you to come near Him. There was nothing, no hope for you. You're condemned to utter damnation. And so we see that we're lost and undone. And oh God, what is it we're going to do? Good news. Good news. There's a man from Nazareth by the name of Jesus. And he was the Christ of God. He was the one the Hebrews would have said is the Messiah, the Anointed One. And He did. He did live the perfect life. Every rule, everything God required was met in the life of this Jesus. He did it. Well, how does that help us? You see, God had set up a system of sacrifices whereby the blood of an animal might make atonement for a time for the sins of men. There needed to be a more perfect sacrifice. This perfect Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, became a lamb, the Lamb of God. And he shed his blood, that blood might atone for our sins. And by substitution, he bore the wrath of God. That by believing and trusting and allowing him to be the Lord of my life, and obeying His commandments through faith in Him, that all of His perfection is imputed to me. That's the good news. That's the good news. Christ Jesus died for my sins. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, it'll be through Christ. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brothers, I don't count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have for us a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that may it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. To honor God. To honor God is to delight in Jesus. It's to lay hold of what Christ has done for us. And to say with John Wesley, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing the mighty works of our God and King, that our lives may be living sacrifices, that we might walk every day in order to honor so great a Savior." Will you pray with me? Father God, we come before You even now, thanking You for Your holiness and Your righteousness. Thanking You, dear God, for Your great love. Thank You, dear Jesus, that You are the good news. I pray that You might give us more of You. I pray that You might cause our hearts to be hungry, our minds to desire, and our spirits to be thirsty for more of Jesus. Thank You for all these things in His mighty name. Amen. God bless you, friends, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.